Welcome back, Inebriates. And today I am joined by another musician who I'm going to make a case for is a time traveler.
Oh, cool.
Carrie Alexander from Bad Bad Hats. Welcome to the show.
That's me. And I'm just learning I'm a time traveler, so I can't wait
well,
to know
you
more.
Knew. You knew. So it's like, you always see these like internet conspiracies of people like, oh, there's a photo of this person in like the 1920s on a cell phone, and this person in the 1910s wearing a t-shirt or whatever.
Yeah.
And so when your PR reached out, was the first time I'd heard you guys, and I was prepping for the podcast today and listening to your music in the office here, and I'm like, oh my God, these guys are from like 1992, maybe 93, very Sonic Youth, Breeders, Pixies, totally my wheelhouse. So
cool.
Time traveler.
I love to hear it.
What I'm saying.
So yes. Okay. You're right. Yes. Yeah, you're right. You got us.
Yeah. See, I knew it. I could tell. No, but like it's always a pleasure when like we talk to a lot of people, and I have learned to have a different appreciation for music than I used to have, where it's like, oh, you know, they're good. People seem to really enjoy their music, just not my taste. But like you guys hit like teenage Andy, like
we love to hear it.
Yeah. Was that intentional?
Cool.
Like, were you going for like the retro grunge kind of thing?
I mean, I do feel like there's always kind of been like a 90s thing in what we do. I'm sure just because of like our influences and sort of what we always like lean towards. Yeah. Cause like a band like the Breeders for sure was like part of my musical upbringing, and like Sheryl Crow and like Alanis Morissette. Letters to Cleo was also one of my favorite bands. When I was young,
what's the name? But
so,
I can't. I know their music. It just doesn't.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're great.
Like,
they're great.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I found out about them when I was like 10 or 11 because Kay Hanley, who's the lead singer of Letters to Cleo, was the voice of Josie and the Pussycats live action film that came out in like 2001.
Oh, so she did like the singing voice.
Yes.
Oh, okay,
exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and so that movie was like one of my favorite movies. Like what could be better, like harder hitting for like a young girl interested in songwriting than a movie about an all girl band
three
hitting it
badass
big, writing their
musician.
own songs. Yeah, exactly. So I was like totally obsessed, and the soundtrack is great. They wrote like all original songs like for the movie. A lot of them written by Adam Schlesinger from like Fountains of Wayne. So that time for sure like permeates a lot of what we do. We never set out like specifically to like do a certain sound, but I just think
we can't
help
came.
it.
Yeah,
we can't help
I get
it.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So I you have a new fan.
Cool, thank you.
And not only that, but I was watching a bunch of your videos, and you have a song called Detroit Basketball.
Yes, we do.
And I was watching the video, and I'm like, oh my God, there's amazing puns in this.
Yes, thank
so,
you.
Grunge kid, lover of puns, I'm
Yes.
in. I don't normally ask this, but where does Bad Bad Hats come from?
Thank you for asking. A lot of people don't know. But then once I tell them, they're like, oh yeah. So it's a reference to the Madeline children's books, which is like the little girls in the yellow outfits and in Paris with the nun. I read those books a lot when I was young, and there is a book called Madeline and the Bad Hat. And the Bad Hat is like her troublemaking neighbor. So that's what it's a reference to. We always say we don't remember why we chose that name. Like when we chose it, we were just like, that seems good. Like we'll go with that. And then you're just stuck with it for the rest of your career. But yeah, that's what it's a reference to.
Yeah, but you know, those are sometimes the best name. I have a good friend here. I'm pretty sure he's been on the show. Everyone calls him Joey Eggs, and it was him and his I think it was his sister's boyfriend at the time, went out for a little extracurricular smoke in the backyard.
Yeah.
And during the conversation, they decided his nickname was Eggs, and it has just stuck. And he's like, I have no idea what the conversation was, but you know, to this day, he's just like, what's up, Eggs?
That's catchy.
It's a great name.
Yeah.
So you guys, this is your first album's coming out on April 12th, right?
I know, our fourth. We're deep.
Your
we're
fourth.
Deep in. Yeah.
But is it called Bad Bad Hats?
It is.
Okay, maybe that's why I thought it was your first.
Yeah,
apologize.
No, it is kind of a, you know,
That's not usually how things are done. Yeah.
It's not. We're switching it up.
Yeah. So your fourth album comes out on the 12th. What was the process like in writing this album? How did it depart from the other three?
I think the biggest thing, this is our first time. Well, I shouldn't say the very first time, but this is like a return to self-producing for us. Our very first EP that came out like a decade ago, that one we made ourselves, just like with one microphone and a dream and a kazoo.
Yeah.
But that one, that album, that was like our first thing. So we didn't really have any expectations or like know-how or like anything. And then our very first album, we started working with our friend Brett Boulian, who produced our first three records. And we would always go to the studio with him for like 2 or 3 weeks and work with him in the studio and get it all down. But the fourth album, we went back to making ourselves sort of accidentally. Like basically we were in like 2020. We started a Patreon page just as a way to like stay connected to our fans and also to like stay busy, because we were feeling, you know, pretty cut off from creativity and just like making music. So we started a Patreon page where every month we write a new original song, like based off of like a musical prompt. So if it almost feels like being back in school. I was like a creative writing major, so it feels like being back in poetry class, you know? So it's like, okay, this month we're writing a country song, or this month we're writing a pop punk song. And it was fun, like just like trying stuff and let's like putting on different like sonic outfits. And so we would do that like once a week. We'd meet up and just work on a new Patreon song. And in our house, we just record in our basement and usually finish them in like 1.5 days. We'd usually like get the whole song done in a day, and then I'd do the vocals the next day. So really quick pace, just like fun, loose, free. But then eventually we were kind of like, I don't know, some of these songs are kind of good. So then we were like, I don't know, I think maybe this is like the start of our fourth album. And then we had like 4 songs that were Patreon songs, and then then the other 6 was like, okay, now we know we're making an album, so like let's like finish it, fill it out.
That's such a cool, I love that, because I feel like it's so easy to kind of get stuck, I don't want to say in a rut, but like in your lane, you know. And just kind of it's such a good exercise to be like, I am gonna, you know, sculpt today. I mean, like, definitely. Why? I don't know, because I've never done my new thing. I'm making a terrarium.
Oh, I love that
giant jar like right over my shoulder. That
cool.
And I'm gonna like try and get the you know, vegetation stuff like kind of just out and about in the yard.
And that's great.
I had done one before, kind of in a instruction thing, and it died almost immediately. And so I was like, "Oh, you're gonna do it again?" I'm like, "Well, I won't learn anything if I don't do it." So I love that. Did you find a genre that you didn't expect to like to work in that you really enjoyed?
It wasn't really unexpected, but we really loved pop punk month. But it wasn't unexpected, because that's like the music of our collective youths. So that one felt really like fun and easy, because it's like, oh yeah, we know how to do this. Like, just like, what would Good Charlotte do? And that's what we're gonna do. I'm trying to think of some other ones that like we're like, oh, this was pretty cool. I feel like surf rock was kind of a fun one.
That's cool.
Yeah, because a lot of them too are like mostly like or not mostly, but like a lot more like tonal things. So I think like Chris and Khan, who do most of like the recording side of it, they had fun being like, oh, like what pedals do we have that will make this sound, or like what should we do to the drums to like give them that like 60s thing. So those ones were cool. That's sort of like the throwback ones. We did like a 60s pop month. That one similarly, it was like got some cool like reverbs going, and brought out like the 12 string guitar that we have. One month we did a James Bond theme song. to a James Bond movie that doesn't exist. We made up a James Bond title.
What was it called?
Time to Kill.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not one? I feel like, really?
I know. It feels like it would be one, right?
Yeah, it sounds like one.
I'm pretty sure I looked up like a James Bond movie like name generator on the internet.
Oh, and, like, that's
had it perfect. Tell me
yeah.
title ideas. Yeah, so that one actually, that one went pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, James Bond movies, those, they always have a very wide variety of artists they pick from, but when you hear them, you're like, yeah, that's definitely a James Bond.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. That's such a good, yeah, I love that. Yeah, we do like daily drawing challenges on our Facebook page.
Oh, cool, yeah.
And so we pick like a theme for the month. That was weird. Somebody fell off a shelf for like no reason. But we pick a theme for the month, and then every day has a different prompt, and our followers have like 24 hours. So like maybe I'll do a James Bond month.
Ooh, that'd be fun. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, because you're always trying to come up with something cool.
Yes, totally. I know. Now we're like 2 years into the Patreon, and I'm like, yeah, it's like, what have we done? Like trying to come up with.
Yeah, it gets really hard where you're like, I don't want to repeat something. And, you know, you're like, there's certain things that get a way more engagement. So it's like animals or mythology things. People love to draw that stuff.
Yeah.
But then you'll be like, oh, we're going to do like a Star Wars one because people love Star Wars. And like almost no one responds. You're like, all right, wrong crowd. Never mind.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Our bad. We're reading the room. We get it.
Yeah. Speaking of room. So like, is there going to be a tour to support?
There is, yes.
Yeah? Where are you guys going?
Hopefully everywhere. But for now, we have, we'll be coming to the East Coast.
Nice.
We'll be in Massachusetts, in Boston and Amherst.
You're the second person I've interviewed that's playing that same, like, Amherst and Boston thing. Yeah.
Okay. We've never played Amherst, so I'm excited.
I will not go see you in Amherst.
Okay, that's okay.
It's just too far. Like,
right, because it's Western.
New Jersey's practically closer.
Okay.
Yeah, Boston's easy, though.
Okay,
but, cool. Would it be your first time in Boston?
No, we played our 10th show there.
Oh, wow. Exciting. Okay, so you're practically Bostonians.
Yes, thank you. That's what we feel. Yeah. So, yes. Boston, we've played many times, and always, honestly, that's one of our favorite places to play. We just often have a really great crowd there, and the venues are really nice. But Amherst will be a first.
Yeah. It's basically a town built around a college.
Right.
And the college has a reputation as a party school.
Okay.
So,
it'll probably
be a lot of fun.
Okay. People going a little nuts. We're ready.
Yeah.
It might
be a little on the shit show side of things, but you know, that can be fun.
Okay. Well, I wonder what time we play. That's usually a factor.
Yeah, for sure.
We're ready.
Yeah. Where's like your favorite places to play?
There are so many, there's so many great places. It's honestly hard to choose. Like I will say like, honestly, like a place like Boston always stands out as we've had really good times there. DC is usually like a really good, a really good turnout for us for whatever reason. But also, I don't know, there's just like certain venues that like we've just played a lot of times. Like sometimes you go to a city and you play like a different venue like every single time you go there.
Yeah.
But like Cleveland, Ohio, we like almost always have played this place called Beachland. So it's like, every time we're there, it just feels nice and like homey. And it's like, oh, we're back.
Yeah, I totally get that. We do events at all these different breweries, and there's just some that we've worked with for so long that, you know, you just roll in. No one like has to tell you anything. You know where everything is.
Totally.
You know where the employee bathroom is, and you're like, I'm not waiting in lines.
Yes, exactly. I know my way around the block.
Yeah.
But it's also really nice to like tour in on the West Coast and like the Southeast. It's just like, the landscape is so beautiful and like different from what we're used to in Minnesota. So that's always like a nice thing.
Do you guys still have like 8 feet of snow outside or what's going on?
We did not have snow until last night. And now there is. And
oh,
now there
really?
Is a dusting.
I was just cracking jokes. Like I didn't
know. Yeah. We had some like 60 degree days like a few weeks ago, which is like unheard of for like February and March. So we were like, wow, maybe like spring is here. And then there,
yeah, it is not.
It was
it,
like, I no, it's not.
Last time I looked, it's like 25 degrees out here, and it should be like in the mid to high 50s by now. And it's So cold. I'm not enjoying it.
Yeah.
So there's two other band members. How is your process for writing music? Do you kind of write the songs together, kind of like someone work on something and then bring it to the group, or?
Yeah, so usually usually starts with me. So I'll like, you know, I feel like my writing time is like usually like at night, mm-hmm. like after dinner, I'll sit on the couch, watch some TV, like hold my guitar and like do some strumming. And that's when I come up with stuff. So usually I write like what I refer to as like the open mic night version of the song.
Okay.
So it'll be like, you know, all the chord progression, the melodies and like the lyrics. So I could like play the song all the way through for you, just like on an acoustic guitar. Yeah. But then that's usually what I bring to the band. And sometimes like, I will say like we are now back to a duo. Our longtime drummer Khan left the band last year. But the three of us made this record together.
Okay.
So Chris and I are the members. And we were the original members.
Mm-hmm.
And we're married. So we live in the house together. So sometimes like I'll write a song and then Chris will do like a little demo. And like try some guitar parts and like come with some bass parts and then it's like then that's what we bring to the studio. But other times it's just like we just bring my little demo, like voice memo, to the studio and just like figure it out like at the moment we're recording. So yeah, it kind of depends.
Yeah, that's cool. Is it better or is it challenging? That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Like living, being a partner and in a band together, like do you have to like compartmentalize? There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. Kind of things or you know, is there like no band talk at the dinner table?
I don't know. I think honestly, like I think we just it feels very natural to us. I think maybe because like the band and our relationship have sort of are the same age, like we like started dating and like basically right away we're like we're gonna make music together. So I don't know, it like has never really felt challenging. Sometimes I think the only maybe slightly challenging thing is just like in general, cause it does feel like running like a small business, so it's like sort of that thing where you like never really get a break from it because it's just mm-hmm. like it's like wonderful to not have like office hours, but also that means it's just like it's always office hours.
Oh my god, I feel seen.
yeah totally.
that is you're like, oh, it's 9 o'clock, I have to swing by the office because I forgot to do something crucial and I have no choice. And yeah, it's
so I don't want to complain too much because it's a wonderful thing to like run our own business and sort of like make our own hours and stuff, but it is kind of some days when it's particularly busy, it just feels kind of like nonstop. So that's hard sometimes because it's like you just like can never really like turn it off. But for the most part, I think part of like our longevity is like based around the fact that we have each other and help each other like through like some of the harder times and inspire each other and you know, root for each other. So I think it's nice to have that partner.
That's awesome. That's
and we work
so
well
important.
Together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
You said longevity. How long is the band? So it's four albums.
Yeah.
Started obviously before 2020.
Yes. So we Chris and I met in 2010 in college. But the band, I guess, officially was like named and played our first show in 2012.
Oh, okay. You look very young, and I don't mean that as insulting.
No, no. Yeah. Everyone is just, everyone tells me. Everyone
you must
tells
get
me.
ID'd constantly.
I do. Yes, yeah. I do. I always have my ID ready. I know what's coming. Yeah.
So are you going to kind of grab a percussionist to go on tour with, or are you guys just going to do the duo?
No. We will be touring as a four-piece for this record. Just make sure we're playing all those parts that need to be played. It's always sort of we never really restrict ourselves in the studio because we just love the studio and love the recording process. And I'm just like, I don't know what sounds cool to put on this song. It's like this random synth over here, like this random sound over here. But then when it's time to play the shows, you're kind of like, uh-oh, how are we going to do all that? But
yeah,
we figure it out as we go.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. A good friend of mine built himself a recording studio during COVID, and it's very fun because every once in a while it's a really cool space. It's rehearsal studios, his recording studio, and then a venue.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, they get touring acts, and so every once in a while I'll just be able to like, hey man, can I borrow the studio? And I'll just nice. Like, roll in, and he records the podcast and you know, Dropbox.
Oh, that's great.
So I don't know. There's something about recording studios just tend to have really cool vibes where they're just, you know, very chill, dark. There's always a comfy couch for some reason.
Yes, you know? Totally. And, I know. It is sort of, we made this record in our house and we have like a little like studio room in our basement. And that was fun. It's like cool to have that ability. But to me, there is something about like going, like leaving the house and like going to the studio to like work on a record. I don't know. It's like going to the office or something. It feels
cool. I learned that very early on in COVID. Cause I got laid off from my regular office day job. And that's when I'm like, all right, it's time to make this business happen fully.
Cool. That's great.
And, it was maybe like 3 months in and I'm like, I can't do this from home. I'm not a work from home person. I'd be the guy that hooks his mouse up to the fan that jiggles it around. So think I'm working. So yeah, I have to get up and shower and get dressed and go somewhere. And
yeah, totally.
Know, I respect people who can do it. It's just not my jam.
I know. You gotta know yourself. Yeah.
It's too easy to be like, I'm going to go take a nap. And then like, I know. 4 hours later, be like, shit.
I know. Yeah. To me, I just, like, it's very distracting being home to be like, oh, like, I should do laundry. Like, I should, like, be over here. Like, oh, this is over here. Yeah. It is nice to sort of go away.
Yeah. Are you guys already working on the next album? Like, now
that we are actually, yeah.
I feel like it has to feel like such a job now because the way with social media and the algorithms, like you constantly have to generate stuff, which I think that part of that coolness of that Patreon is it almost forces you to do that.
Yeah, totally. In some ways it's like, I feel like, I've entered like one of the more like fruitful times of my like songwriting career. Just cause it's like, oh dang, like got to come up with a, you know, stomp and holler song this month. Like,
and it gives you a great and I found this recently where I have started to draw single line drawings. So you put the pen down, you don't pick it up.
Oh cool.
And it I find it gives me like this freedom to be like, it's not going to be perfect, it can't be perfect,
right?
And so like, do you get that same feeling where you're like, we're only writing this in like the matter of a couple days, and it's not our genre. So like, does it give you that kind of freedom? Be like, it's okay if it's not awesome.
Yes, totally. And I think it is like, not that we're like not trying to do a good job, because like we are, but like, I do think it's like, it's something like being sort of like outside of yourself or something. It's like, this isn't what people like expect from me, or like, this isn't what, you know, Bad Hats like is or something.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you can sort of, you just like feel like you can be like a different person. You're just like, I'm just Carrie, like trying to write, you know, a French pop song. And I don't even have an
expectation. This is my Eurovision song.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, I don't have an expectation. You don't have an expectation. So like, it could be anything. And that is really cool. Cause I do think like, you know, once like you have the band and you sort of like, people, you know, you just start to feel like people expect a certain thing from you, and you like want to deliver that or want to rise to that. Like, it does put certain like parameters on what you do, or you just like think about it in a different way. So it is cool to just sort of be like, I don't know, it's like, we're just trying this over here.
When you're working on a song, whether it's your Patreon or a real song, do you ever get that kind of moment? I get it all the time where I like start working on something and I'm like, oh, I hate this so much, but then I kind of force myself to just kind of keep working through it. And eventually it'll take a turn and kind of come back to, even if it's not where I expected it, but to something I can appreciate.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess maybe like in some ways that's like, the Patreon has been like a good lesson in that, because I feel like before it would like, if I was working on something that was like, maybe wasn't clicking. Yeah. It's just like, you just like abandon. I would just like stop and just like be like, whatever, like, you know, that didn't work. So
I feel like that's just such the easy thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. It's just like, well, no, we'll just see if that becomes a better thing later. But yeah, I guess with the Patreon, like it has kind of been like, I actually need to like write the song like today. So like, we just have to sit here and like, you know, like figure it out. So yeah, I think that has been kind of like a good lesson of just like, I don't know, see what's in there. And also just too, it's like, I think, yeah, I think sometimes it's like, maybe you're not aware of if something is like good or not, like for whatever reason, like you just like, I just like don't have like the reference point or something to be like, I don't know if this is good. So I think sometimes you just have to sort of like go with where like inspiration is taking you, even if mm-hmm. you're like, I don't know if this is cool, but I think sometimes it ends up being cool because it's just like, yeah, it just becomes what it becomes.
Yeah. Sometimes I like to go through old sketchbooks and I'll either be like, cool, I forgot I drew this, or like, I used to hate this, but this is actually okay. And
yeah,
you totally know, that kind of, yeah, it's fun to kind of like look back on that stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Do you get the prompts from your Patreons, or do you guys come up with them on yourself?
We mostly come up with them, but I think some of the earlier ones we were based off of like prompts we had done. We did like a YouTube series yep. where we just played cover songs. And some of those themes we got from our fans. So we took a lot of the cover show themes and turned those into the Patreon theme. So
yeah.
In sort of like a roundabout way, yes.
Nice. What's probably the weirdest, I'm sorry if I'm like focused, it's such a novel way of staying in touch with your fans.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, I saw so many people doing like, hey, we're gonna live stream, and mm-hmm. you know, everyone's just trying to do their best. I mean, we even ran a live stream from a local beer store downtown.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
I just apologize for asking repeated questions about this, and then I blanked on the question I was going to ask. Brains, they don't always work.
I think it was it maybe about like some of the themes. Like,
oh, the I was going to say, yeah, what's the weirdest like theme that you've done? Well, there was the James Bond one, but was there any
James Bond one? That one was pretty unique. Yeah. I don't think it would have been like too weird. I think one of the harder ones that I'm not sure we were that successful with was we did a like a time signature theme. So like write a song like not in 4/4. But I'm not like, I don't come from like a music theory like background. Like I just like taught myself guitar. So like I wasn't very like, I had never written a song not in 4/4. So that one was like a little tricky for me to even figure out how to like write lyrics to like a 7/4 something. I took all these like notes to try to like be like, okay, it's like you need like this syllable, this syllable, this syllable, this syllable, and then that's the end of the line. So it's just like trying to like write it out so I could understand. Yeah, I'm trying to think of all the themes.
But something like that's the kind of thing that I think is really great about it, is it pushes you in ways that you wouldn't have necessarily even thought to do. You know?
No, yeah, totally. Oh, we did a Yacht Rock. That one was pretty fun.
Okay.
I did write a boat themed song for Yacht Rock.
Nice.
Month. Lots of boat metaphors.
Last summer I went and saw a Yacht Rock cover band. Thing. Called Yachtly Crew. They were great.
Love it.
The crowd was annihilated. Like,
for sure.
Some of the drunkest people I've ever seen.
It's just
like, we're kind of ruining your time because you're not as, you know, like, I mean, I've had a couple beers, but bro, like, move over and
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it was fun band. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Are you a Yacht Rock fan, or was that just kind of?
I do like a lot of yacht. I think like once I, cause like for every theme, I'll do like research on it to try to like familiarize myself with like the genre or like the, you know, artists who are like fall into whatever category it is. And I think like reading about it, I was like, oh, I wouldn't have thought of this band as like Yacht Rock, but I guess like it makes sense. But like,
So, like, it's very open to interpretation.
It is. Yeah. So yeah, I enjoy some Steely Dan, you know, I enjoy some, who else is in that category? Like Michael McDonald or something.
I was just going to say Michael McDonald is the one that always jumps to mind. Yeah.
But yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's like great songwriting, like really like great melody, catchy melodies. So,
I was trying to like good cookout music. You
know? For sure. Yeah.
So like kind of everyone knows it, you know, you kind of hum along and
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a genre of music that you just like, you're like, nope, not my thing?
Not really, honestly. Like I feel like, I mean, there's certain genres I don't know as much about. Just like not as well versed in it. But yeah, I pretty much find something to like in everything. I enjoy country music. I enjoy like top 40 pop. I love jazz. I went through like a jazz moment like in high school. I like took every like jazz history class I could take.
I loved playing in jazz band in high school. That was like my absolute favorite.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So great. Yeah, I feel like most I love dance and like dance music. I think maybe like my knowledge base for like harder rock is limited. But even like I feel like I discovered like Turnstile like a year or so ago and just like really loved it. You should check it out. They're great. I guess they would, I don't know if they'd be described as like hardcore or something, but yeah, I don't know. I kind of like it.
I
kind of like it all.
A few years ago, I discovered a hardcore band through, it's not even their cover band. They have like almost like an alternate identity.
Yeah.
Where I guess the guitarist showed up for band rehearsal one day. He's like, I want to start a mariachi band.
Oh, cool.
And they're like, yeah, let's do that. And so their hardcore band is the Bronx. And so then their other band is Mariachi El Bronx.
Oh, wait. Yeah. I know about them.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Like I just had, they opened up for, I went and saw, Flogging Molly and Go-Go Bordello, and they opened up, and I'm like, these guys are amazing.
Yes. So I think I know about them because, I think like Spin Magazine, like many, many years ago, put together like a Prince covers compilation.
Oh, that's right. They did a
I Would Die for You, I think was
what they did. That's what it was. Yep.
Yeah. Really good. Really good.
Yeah, it was for like West Coast radio station, I think, or something.
Yeah.
That's a really, if my memory serves, I don't remember the radio station, but when bands go to play there, there's either like a list or a wheel.
Yes. That
they spin or they can pick off the list, and once you've picked something off the list, no other band in that year or season or whatever can play that.
Okay.
So like they were on there, Guar was on playing some weird, you know, and I'm like, that's such a neat, cool kind of same exercise that you're doing, you know.
Totally. I love it.
I love it. So yeah, you gotta get outside your box and try something new.
Yes, and that's like sort of like this whole album sort of like started with that and continued. I mean, at the end of the day, like we always kind of end up sounding like Baba Hats because it's just like we can't deny who we are.
Right.
But it's still, I mean, the process was still very inspiring and cool for this record.
I love it. That's awesome. It's so exciting. So Bad Hats, the album number, it's the fourth one.
The fourth,
it's like a Metallica thing. I think Metallica did that.
Okay, cool. Yeah great.
but comes out April 12th.
That's right. Yep. All right.
So the only information I had that was wrong was it was your first album. So
yeah, no. And that makes, and like you said, it makes sense because it's the self-titled. Yeah.
Where can people go to, you know, purchase it, join your Patreon, you know, all that?
Yeah. I mean, I think babahats.com has links to most landing places. But yeah, the album is free orderable on Bandcamp. And we're just patreon.com/BabbittHats is I think how you find that.
Yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. Are you gonna have like vinyl? I'm so close. I know it's gonna be a problem for me. Once I buy one, I'm like, I might as well just buy all of them.
Yeah, you need them all. You gotta complete the collection.
Yeah, I'm such a collector nerd. So like, I haven't bought an album yet, but I'm so close, and I'm like, I just know it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
I know me. And then you start buying collections because it's a good deal, and you don't really want them all. And you're like, what do I do with all these extra records? Yeah.
Yes, but yeah, I love that. I love the vinyls coming back. It's just like, I just love the big art. It's really nice.
Yes. Yeah. Like that was one of my favorite things, like as a kid getting the albums. I remember one of my favorites at the time was a Jethro Tull.
Mm-hmm.
Stand Up was a pop up, but there was another Thick as Brick maybe, but it was like a newspaper and opened up and it was like,
oh, cool.
Not an actual newspaper, but like multiple pages. And
that's cool.
Just such a cool design thing. So
yeah. Like I love, I think the Grammys has an award for like best album for like best like design of like a record, which is great because people are still coming up with like really cool like innovative ways to like design the album sleeves and stuff, so it's cool.
Do you get really involved in designing the artwork and sleeve for yours?
A little bit. I think we don't have quite the budget to be too crazy, but I do enjoy the process of coming up with the cover art. Honestly, like for most of our albums, we'd always like forget that we needed to do that part because you're like, okay, going down the list, like we did this, be like, oh my god, like we forgot about the album art. Oh my god.
People are gonna probably want to look at it, huh?
I know, yeah, totally. So it is funny that it has been a little bit of like a last minute thing for some of our previous albums, but it's worked out great that we've gotten really cool artists to make art for us or let us use their already made art.
Yeah.
But for this one, I take a lot of pictures. Like I always like to have a camera with me on tour, or like when I'm traveling. And I just took a picture when I was on Staten Island with a really good friend of mine. We're just like wandering around and I just like snapped a picture. And when I got the film back, it's like something about this picture. I was like, it's like so cool. It's so beautiful.
I told you you were a time traveler. You sent out film to be developed. I knew it. Proof right there.
So that's cool. So this is the first cover that I guess I like did. So that's cool.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to fund Carrie's time traveling exploits, you can head over to Patreon, support her. Thank you for coming on and talking to us.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
I will definitely be keeping an eye out for when you guys come out to Boston. And
yes, please do. I know we won't see you in Amherst, but we might see you in Boston.
Do that. Drunken college students that are 2 hours away. No thanks.
Yeah, it's fine. We get it.
But I'll definitely try and stop by and say hi. And for our listeners, like I said, make sure you check out Bad Bad Hats on April 12th. And we'll catch you guys again next week. And thanks for checking out the show today, listeners. If you enjoyed the content today, you can go over to patreon.com/inebriart to support the show. You can join over there for just a few dollars a month and help us provide this fun content that you just checked out. You can also email us at inebriart.com with your questions, complaints, and concerns. Or you can find us on all social medias at inebriart or at inebriart6 on Instagram. And also don't forget to check out our other shows, Bar Talk Podcast, Old Colony Cast, InebriArt, and all the other shows on the InebriArt Network, which you can find at inebriart.com. Thanks again for listening.